Welcome to the Blockchain in Healthcare Today Platform Approaches Journal, where research excellence and real-world implementation collide. Today, podcast speakers delve into the BHTY article, Moving Beyond Proof of Concept and Pilots to Mainstream. This continuous journey extends the framework and solution assemblies, including further developments with crossover into generative AI and ethics. Now, let's listen in and learn where the market's heading.
Hello, everyone. Excited to be here with the authors of the article titled Moving Beyond Proof of Concept and Pilots to Mainstream, Discovery and Lessons from a Reference Framework and Implementation, published recently in Blockchain Healthcare Today, Platform Approaches in Healthcare. I'm very pleased to have the authors of the article here and also an expert in AI to talk about the article, which I think is an extremely important contribution to the literature of blockchain, and that's something that the BHTY journal has been doing as an important contribution because it combines the academic and practical aspects of blockchain adoption in not only healthcare but also broadly. So we are very excited to discuss that with the authors and with the panelists today. My name is Anjum Khurshid. I'm the moderator. I'll be the moderator of this discussion. I'm a faculty in the Department of Population Medicine at Harvard Medical School, and also chief data scientist for Sentinel Operations Center at the Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare Institute, and have worked in the blockchain area and informatics for many years. Have implemented some of these blockchain applications in public health. And then I will request my panelists here to introduce themselves one by one. So maybe we can start with Badri.
Thank you, Anjum. Nice to meet all of you. Thank you for hosting me. I'm Badri Narayanan Gopalakrishnan. I'm an economist, and I am an academic affiliated with University of Washington, Seattle, where I'm based in. I'm also affiliated with Oregon State University and Boston College, where I teach and do research from time to time. I also run my own consulting firm for the past decade, which is called Infinitesim Modeling, where we advise makers and business leaders across the world on strategy analytics. Among the various verticals and horizontals that I work on, blockchain and AI are some of them. I've been advising companies on blockchain strategy and solutions. And more recently, I was with Government of India, where I was heading trade policy. And there also, I was working on some blockchain implementation for trade. I've also been advising many international organizations and governments across the world. So I'll speak more about this when I share my experience in this area. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to your co-author, Satya.
Oh, hello, good morning. My name is Satya Krishnaswamy. Currently, I run my consultancy firm, Achainaim, which is a consultancy on emerging tech, where we do emerging tech consultancy, some app dev services, and we do support as the technical arm. And we also do a little bit of investments in the space. And overall, my background has been, I've spent a lot of time in healthcare, both on the payer side and the provider side across many of the payer organizations and providers. Been in supply chain management and inter-company collaboration space for a long time prior to that. My academic experience is in enterprise engineering, and I've been part of many academic industry relationships and been running some innovation groups, including many verticals, including some of the trade and health verticals.
Thank you very much. And we are fortunate to have been joined by Atul. So Atul, your introduction, please.
Yeah, hi, good day, everyone. I'm Atul Apte. I'm
founder and chief research officer at Arza. Arza is a company that focuses on responsible AI practice and you know, how do we create the right frameworks as we start innovating with AI. And the topic of blockchain has been one of my passions for several years now. My last 18 years have been in the healthcare industry, working for the large payers in the industry in the US. And prior to founding Adirza, I was leading the blockchain practice at one of the payers. And so my current interest lies in the impact of consensus on Gen AI and the outcomes of Gen AI. This is a topic which I fundamentally believe will evolve and improve both the Gen AI outcomes, but also expand the opportunities for blockchain implementations. So that's a very, very happy to be part of this esteemed group, and hopefully I can contribute to the discussion.
Yes, thank you so much. We will get to that topic of responsible AI, I think, very linked to the article that we are discussing. So I'll start with the authors. And one of the sentences that you have mentioned in your article is about the identifying these significant advances that are taking place just globally in terms of including these newer, faster, less costly solutions. And so I would like to our audience to learn from you, like, what in your research, what were some of the legal and regulatory changes that are already taking place that you see will enhance the importance of blockchain as a technology?
Badri here. So let me begin this conversation, and then Satya can chip in later. As I mentioned before, I've been advising several governments and international organizations across the world. Also, I forgot to mention that I work closely with Satya, and I'm an advisor to ChainM as well. So in these capacities, when I work with all these organizations, what is evident from several governments like Saudi Arabia, UAE, United Kingdom, India, even European Union, and some of the African countries, and so on, is that all these countries are looking at blockchain from a perspective that is beyond crypto. So they are looking at blockchain holistically, and they have gone into executing various projects. So, for example, when I was with the government of India, we were actually implementing a lot of projects, particularly in terms of provenance and traceability in trade, in various verticals. Basically, it's one horizontal which is being taken up by various verticals. And even more importantly, in addition to being a solution to specific problems, we are even thinking the big picture as to what are the policy frameworks, what are the regulatory frameworks one has to think about, and particularly looking at digital ledger technology as a critical component of all these things. It all began with fintech, financial sector, but now it's extended well beyond that. I've personally worked a lot on trade. So in trade policy, I see this happen a lot, particularly during COVID. In India, they implemented a lot of blockchain solutions to ensure that the food products, for example, agriculture and food products are being tracked, and even in pharmaceutical supply chain to ensure that the medicines are available on time. So and also their quality, checking their quality and so on. For all these things, it has been extremely useful. Now coming to healthcare in particular, healthcare is a global topic again. We have to look at it from a global perspective. If you take India, for example, there is this account aggregator framework where we're looking at not only the kind of solutions we talked about so far, but also about data protection. So digital personal data protection and so on. So, and of course, there is also this vertical of sustainability, resilience, supply chain resilience and so on, where blockchain plays an important role. So there's also the concept of health equity, where we have a lot of role to play. So I request Satya to shed more light on this, particularly on some of these specific aspects of blockchain.
Yeah, thanks, Badri. So to add on to what Dr. Badri has already mentioned, from my participation in all this, what I pick up is the understanding. There is a lot of interest in understanding the technology now beyond finance. These had started from fintech, but even in these examples Dr. Badri is talking about, in the account aggregator framework, it is extending beyond fintech into health and skills in India. That's one area. And then in general, we see a lot of laws, regulation movements that we already know of, including the GDPR, and in the fintech side, a whole bunch of movements are happening that we already know of. But beyond that, when it comes to the next level, in trade, for example, even though it comes from other verticals, it kind of gives us an opportunity to understand how they are thinking about the model of dealing with electronic records. What that means is, thing that exists in the physical form and what is the digital representation of it. And when you model that as a contract and then say X happens, Y happens, then what are the legal implications of that? So this has started emerging now, and it has been emerging from a different angle, but it is shedding a lot of light with respect to what are the operational aspects of dealing with blockchain. And on the aspect of health equity, there is a lot of focus now coming up. Even though it stemmed from ESG type things, what it means to healthcare, how do you handle healthcare waste, how do you handle healthcare resilience, and then the concept of health equity in personalized medicines, on what personalized medicine, on how we are dealing with the distribution of health equity. These are all coming up as topics at a higher level. And one other thing that I'm interestingly noticing is these are coming from international organizations that Dr. Badri has been working with, but I see DLT as a central part while they are trying to put it out, directly or indirectly.
That's great. That's a great context of this discussion. I'm so glad that you have brought in international examples and also examples from other industries where some of the benefits of using blockchain technology are more clearly shown. But then coming back to the challenges in terms of adoption of this technology in healthcare, you have talked about like the economics of adoption at an enterprise level, which is kind of the title of your paper also refers to this, where there are a lot of pilots in the blockchain area, but less of adoption that we see at the enterprise level. So maybe you can throw some more light on the low-hanging fruit there in terms of what can be done in terms of improving adoption at the enterprise level and moving from these POCs to more mainstream operations.
Yeah. So the paper basically takes a balanced view of saying, oh, this is not just a shiny technology, but really what is the use that can come out of it. The one thing I would have to agree on is there's a lot of innovation in the space. It is just not translated into real world use cases. That's the way I would put it. Now, particularly the enterprise adoption is definitely lower, definitely lower in healthcare, but it is not just lower in healthcare. Even in other verticals, the enterprise is slowly moving there. Now, with respect to the amount of POCs and pilots, there is a lot of work that has gone in, and they've amazingly done a lot of work in every single aspect of the problem that involves blockchains. But blockchain is not one single thing. It's a multidimensional aspect. It's not just technology. That's the first point I want to start with. With respect to what we had done in the healthcare context, we looked at where could be some of these easy things that can be done at the state of the technology as it is, while the technology is still maturing. We have not solved every single privacy problem there could be, or fully not solved Web2 level scalability problems, but there are enough technical stacks that can move, you know, low hanging fruits, which are, in our case, we focused on admin use cases in the healthcare sector, which is really about basically finding out if in the simple processes like enrollment and benefits administration, are there possibilities to reduce the amount of data that is moved, reducing the cardinality of the data movement, the integrity of the data, and be able to increase the convergence of decision making. And that is where we saw a lot of opportunities. But this needs a careful assembly of technologies to make this happen and set it up so that it can be extended forward. When you look at the economics of it, basically, we have cited one example in the paper on the, which is roughly turned out to be in the millions of dollars. But if you look at it from a system-wide perspective, it scales up. And beyond that, when you include in the global perspectives, it is not just the dollar amount, but some of the additional metrics kick in for a given budget. How many lives are covered? That is starting to be a number that has been talked about when we're sitting in these account aggregator frameworks type of conversations. And also the equity of the health distribution in terms of you know, what kind of population are getting served. So there are additional metrics that come in when we kind of you know, talk about the success factors of employing this technology. But it needs a framework to find out these use cases so you don't get lost. And it has to be computationally economic, and it has to be economic to run the program. So it's a combination of these things. And that's why we think we talked about some of the concepts that will help you understand along these lines in the framework.
And did you find in your literature review also whether there were good examples of this being described in the terms that you are describing, which is more operational and more strategic in terms of decision making versus just the technical solution?
Yes, we were able to find many academic instances where specifically from the American Cardiology Association and the papers that was talking about how integral data integrity is it, and how much of a play that blockchain can contribute in this space. That was the double corroborations that we were able to kind of do with respect to what the academic literature says to what we were seeing in our experiences. And it is really from all angles, you know, from a payer angle, from a provider angle, these pain points are basically high. And data security, needless to say, is a very important aspect of it. Particularly, as the technologies evolve, we are very hopeful that you don't have to move data as the privacy technologies mature to the point where you can deal with minimal data to be able to carry out the business processes you may want to carry out.
Yeah, that's a very important point. Thank you so much. You just mentioned that in order to then really think of an implementation strategy, then you also need to understand kind of a framework, so you're not just trying to take one pilot and see how to scale, but you're learning from like multiple experiences, which are kind of happening all over the world, as you had mentioned, but also in healthcare, it is happening in multiple, you know, subsectors within healthcare. So could you say a little more about, in your paper, you have discussed this in detail, but maybe summarize it for people who are listening, kind of how you present that framework for blockchain adoption?
Yeah, so basically, when I first got into this, right, it was also, you know, what is this technology, understanding of this technology, and then basically most people in the space start from understanding this technology, because that's how this happened by its nature. And secondly, almost all the time, what I've seen is it's a random tinkering of this technology, right? That's good, yeah. That's fine, right? But it then has to move to the next level of maturity to say, how do I actually discover the, you know, once I see, either I see a zeal on the technical side or I see the zeal on the business side saying, well, somebody said blockchains can help, let me do this, right? There, that initial zeal kind of will have to sustain and being able to find the conducive use cases, basically to say where this will really help in the context of the economics of the solution as well. That is another important point, right? So, and then even if you want to do something, you know, the regulations might or might not permit, and they might have huge amount of constraints on top of it. And then even if the regulations were to apply at certain level, there are kind of, you know, it's kind of like a give and take between the technology and the regulations. And then you also need to understand the operational aspects. Just because this can work, it still has to work with whatever else the companies might have built. But the good thing about blockchain technology is it can reduce the information asymmetry between sophistications on the enterprise side and some companies that might not even have that kind of sophistication. So the framework, what it does is brings together all these components and kind of introduces the constructs. Some of the constructs are well known, like provenance is a construct, traceability is a construct, but we extend that into concepts of friction maps of how you work with your counterparties, your minimal data, because most times you don't need all the data and you don't have to put everything on the chain, right? It is really a very good understanding of how this off-chain, on-chain design will go together in the context of solving intercompany or inter-entity or reaching out to your customers type of a workflow. That can be done in a minimalistic level, understanding these constructs, where the cardinality reduction, the trust maps that you have to understand, the low friction items that you ought to pick up to go after first, so it can be win-win situations. And when you also do that along with architectures, you don't have to break the bank in picking up and building something from the scratch. You have to really find out how you can leverage both the public side of things that are coming up with huge innovations, while you can try to do your, you know, private data. And there are hybrid architectures that are evolving that really you can make use of. But it needs a sensible approach. You start and then you cannot just stop. It's really the question of how do you future-proof this and how do you stair-step your investments towards a strategy that can be sustainable long term. That's exactly what the framework talks about. And the framework is not just a one-time thing. It's a living, breathing thing that actually learns from other tech, other verticals, other law, implementations of the law. And we are trying to bring that as this space evolves.
Oh, thank you, Satya. That was very helpful to explain this and obviously encourages people to read more in your paper, more details. Dr. Badri, you wanted to add something to the discussion on frameworks?
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Anjum. So Satya has already covered a lot of ground here. But I just want to give a very high-level perspective. You know, the bottom line is that anything to do with blockchain implementation in healthcare is a combination of various I would say horizontals. You know, you have the technology part, you have the policy part, you have the customer engagement aspect, operationalization. So these are all the pieces that have to go together. And what we have done in this paper is to look at all these things and look at it holistically. But generally, blockchain and any new technology, when you think of from an economic perspective, there are two major high-level ideas for inducing to adopt. One is cost reduction. They're going to reduce costs in various processes. And second thing is enhance efficiencies. So you're going to increase efficiencies. And then you're going to change the way we are doing things. So you're totally taking the processes to a different level. So these are broad opportunities and metrics where there are opportunities to adopt blockchain. In terms of challenges in the past, what you've seen is lack of understanding to begin with. Like you, instead of coming up with specific business problems to solve and then looking at it holistically, sometimes we try to lose track. And secondly, there is also blockchain also involves a lot of players, and there has to be a business case like what we discuss in this paper, where all the players, all the stakeholders who are involved are on board. So there is no incentives for information asymmetry, because whenever there is incentive for information asymmetry and the players don't want to be in a transparent framework, there'll be resistance to adopt blockchain. And that is what we have to look at. That is where regulation also comes into play. If you keep it voluntary, then many times we lose track, because it becomes more like a benevolent approach kind of thing rather than a business solution. So that those are some high level thoughts I want to watch. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And so and we appreciate that in the paper you have actually taken a use case more on the administrative side and demonstrated how the framework can actually work in that, which I think again is important for those who are challenged with the implementation of these solutions at the enterprise level. And now just switching gear to something that has been on the forefront of many of the discussions, but since we also have Atul here, to comment on something that is related to it, which is why is blockchain technology essential in terms of thinking about the future of responsible AI for scalability of solutions, and also for some of the things that Satya and Badri were mentioning related to privacy and provenance of data, and then convergence of some of these technologies. So maybe Atul, since we have the benefit of your company here, maybe you can start, and then Satya and Badri can pitch in.
Yeah, no, this is Atul. So first of all, fantastic discussion up to this point. You know, really, I can't find words to thank both Satya and Badri for sharing what I think is a perspective based on reality and practice. This is the most important aspect of blockchain that we have learned the hard way, which is we know the technology, we know the capabilities, but what is the practical, what is the practical reality of implementing blockchain? I extend that a little bit with what we are experiencing right now in terms of Gen AI. And interestingly enough, many of the same topics that we encounter in the blockchain thought process, privacy, security, sharing of information, the last point made by Badri, which was around transparency and the ability for enterprises to participate in that. All of these are very, very much on the same, on the same level being discussed in Gen AI. So there is a lot to learn from what this paper is highlighting, and trying to apply that in the Gen AI context. That is what responsible AI is all about. It's more than regulations. It's much more than policies. It is to look at things holistically in how we enable Gen AI outcomes. And I think that is where the credibility of that outcome is important. And I think we have enough examples. I'm not going to go through all of them right now, but enough examples where people question the Gen AI outcomes, and rightly so. So this is one area where I feel blockchain will begin to add value into the whole conversation around AI and AI-enabled systems. there has been a lot of thought process, you know, in this, you know, in this particular industry around healthcare, and I look forward to you know, doing more in this aspect.
Yeah, this is Satya here. I want to basically add a few things to what Atul has already alluded to. I from my technical perspective, I see a whole bunch of blockchain is just not one technology. It's really an amalgamation of enterprise systems and what you do on those enterprise data. First of all, are they have high data integrity? When you run these AI models, right, are those economically viable? And then the blockchains take it to another level, both on the integrity side, and then there's a whole bunch of activity that is now going on with respect to privacy preservation aspect, with respect to running these AI models, proving the inference of these models for collaborative workflows. So we're extending this framework to work on those areas, and it gives a whole bunch of optimism given the amount of focused research that is happening in this space with what is possible now, but also this is the area which we expect to mature over the next few years as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. So this is this was a great insights, I think, in terms of linking some of the work within blockchain technology and also with some of the questions that are now being asked at a much bigger scale, I think, with the reference to AI and applications in the future, especially in the healthcare area where, you know, we are very protective of the data and also there are human lives involved. So I think the combination of these two is extremely important. So this has been a fascinating discussion. And as I mentioned, I think we have also seen why this is such an important paper as a contribution, because I think what we need in the study of blockchain technology and its implementation is more realistic and well thought out discussions that are also explaining not only what the issues are, but also how to go about solving them. So any final takeaways that you think listeners should take from your paper and the research that you have done?
Right. This is Satya here. I'll start and then I'll let Atul and Padri chip in as well. So the key takeaway from the paper is that the blockchain technology is evolving fast. The deployment architectures are evolving fast. It is a combination of multiple things. But you can set things up without a huge economic cost, given how far we have come, if you can carefully select these architectures, particularly the architectures that are evolving now in the hybrid space. And another aspect we are trying to see is, we are seeing is that the consumer movement is also catching up little by little. And it is definitely increasing year over year. That's what we have seen. So the call for action here would be to have a strategy that is open for these extensible architectures, but stair-step it. So you don't go all in, at the same time, don't shy away from it. Be willing to experiment, but at the same time, because otherwise how much ever money you're putting in any other system, you probably will play catch up later. So it's probably, it's one of those things you'll have to balance as you're taking forward this innovation. The second thing is, as we said earlier, it's not just one technology, and that's a huge thing that we are seeing with respect to data provenance, data integrity, AI, and to some degree, technologies that are still maturing. Right, so it's really it's an interlude of these technologies, and it needs to come with a sense of operationalization, and that the framework covers. And we are continuously extending the framework towards these frameworks, and there's a lot of interest that people have come and asked us to say what this means, when particularly put this in conjunction with blockchains and AI, particularly with respect to proof of systems, proof of computations, proof of whether it is private data, private model, public data, private model, private data, private model, all these combinations. And what that really means is this, even with the technology as it is now, there are things that you can set it up for, but this space is moving at breakneck speed, which really opens up very, very, very high possibilities for collaborative flows. And Atul and Dr. Atul.
Yeah, this is Atul. So well said, Satya. I think I would just, you know, quickly summarize just one or two points. Collaboration is the key. I think the opportunity here, the really big opportunity here, based on, you know, your research and paper, is we need to have bigger conversations at the industry level in healthcare, because that's where the opportunities will become clear. And there needs to be more further collaborations between Gen AI and blockchain, particularly in this context, to capitalize and provide solutions to the industry. I mean, the industry needs solutions. There is no shortage of problems, and this is the opportunity.
Excellent.
Thank you, Atul and Satya. Badri here. So I think I agree completely with both of you. And further, I would like to say that it's all boiling down to the basics, right? If we want to, we are all here to solve problems, and we have to keep that in mind. Like, what are the business problems are we trying to solve? And what does it take to solve those problems? And blockchain definitely can solve a lot of problems in conjunction with Gen AI and IoT and big data and all the other technologies together as an ecosystem. I think that is where we have to strive hard for, rather than you know, not focusing on the problems and coming up with actual solutions. The second thing is governments across the world are looking for various problems that are you know, quite similar and common. Interestingly, we're all looking at sustainability, we're all looking at inclusion, inclusive growth, and you know, tracking things, making sure that the data is protected, the consumers' welfare. All these things are common threats running across the world. So it is high time we have, you know, facilitate some collaboration and coordination between the policymakers, business leaders, and the technologists. I think that is very important, because there is a lot of blind side to all this. Like, the policymakers may keep worrying about the same problems without understanding that the technologies have evolved, and there are very powerful ways of solving these problems. And the technologists would not have a perspective of all these policy perspectives that are happening. So I think we need all these different stakeholders to come together. And even as you know, blockchain enthusiasts or developers, we also have to keep this entire ecosystem in mind, and we have to collaborate with everyone rather than just sitting and focusing on what we are doing. We have to come out and engage with everyone. So I think that on that note, I conclude my discussion. Thank you.
And that's a very appropriate ending to this discussion. So gentlemen, thank you so much for your contributions, and also for this session, which I learned a lot from just this discussion. The fact that I think when we had, with the digitization of healthcare, especially in the US over the last 20 years or so, we have also come understood that digitization comes with a lot of other problems that have to be solved on the business side and the skills side, you know, enterprise side. And when many of us were introduced to blockchain technology, especially from the healthcare side, when we were introduced to this, we said, wow, this technology has so many answers to problems that we weren't able to solve. And yet, over the last, you know, many years, you also get frustrated why this has not been adopted well. And I think your paper kind of identifies not only why this adoption has been slower than what we had expected, but more importantly, I think you provide some very useful strategies of what should be the trajectory to engage with this, with a broader set of collaborators to really make this benefit all of us and our systems. I think the ideas that you have introduced in this paper of future proofing or stair stepping in designing these concepts and really thinking of blockchain also in terms of its relationship to generative AI discussions that are happening with responsible AI are all things that will be very beneficial, I think, to those who are involved in this. So we really thank you all for your contributions and also thank Blockchain and Healthcare Today for providing this platform and for publishing such high quality you know, research that is beneficial for both researchers as well as implementers. So thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Anshul.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Anshul.
Thank you.
Thank you, Satya, Atul. Blockchain and Healthcare.